For those of you who are very well versed with the church calendar, you'll know that today is Christ the King Sunday. Well done. Well done. That will mean something for you. For some of you, it won't. But it kind of means that then next week is Advent. But more importantly, when Jesus hung on the cross, there were words that were above his head. And they read, shout it out,
King of Jews.
Jesus, King of the Jews. And they were kind of put there to mock him in a sense. I'm going to come back to that. We've just shared the piece. Have a look at what's on the screen. If you can't read it, I'll help you read. It's just a light joke by Dave Walker. He puts that on. So as you share the piece, you know, the time during the service, which is set aside for the people to be nice to one another. Different people share the piece in different ways. Number one here. The non-participant tries to avoid eye contact in the knowledge that soon this indignity will end. Then you've got this one here. Try and think of which one you might be. You think so? You're forgiven, Tate. All right, here we go. So, the personal space invader. Purveyor of unwanted hugs and kisses. Be nice, be nice. Okay, and then the other one. The Olympic peace giver, aiming to greet the entire congregation, eyes already on the next victim. And then the last one here. I wonder who this might be. Okay, so he says, the church business conductor will bless you with many ministry opportunities. Kind of moving around with the clipboard. Oh, could you, by the way, could you help with? I remember that during the notices. Right, so that's a little something there, just lighthearted, isn't it? But my question this morning is, to forgive or not to forgive, that is the question. When Jesus hung on the cross, he had that question. I wonder how you feel when somebody does you wrong. That's the question we are faced with, isn't it? And if you think of the gravity of what wrong that might be, if somebody says, love your enemy, what does your enemy look like? It could be as serious as somebody who has committed a serious crime against you. Or it could be light, that it's somebody who is close to you that knows your buttons so well and knows which ones to push, that when you're about to leave the house and walk out, they push just the wrong one, and some emotions are stirred up, and in that moment, they fall into the category of enemy, and you think, if only I could. And that's the question, to forgive or not to forgive. Let's read this together. Forgiveness is for you, so that you do not have to carry the burden. That's why Jesus came. He came because he can carry our burdens better than we can. Doesn't matter how much you go to the gym, and I can see some of you. Doesn't matter how much training you do for the whatever muscles you build, Jesus can carry those burdens better than you. And this morning, my message is that we will let him carry those burdens for us. Let's not hang on to them ourselves. Setting this scene, if you have a look in your Bibles, this is what's happening between verse 33 and 43, a story that perhaps you know so well, a story that you've read in the lead up to Easter. Jesus is experiencing or has experienced pain, rejection, torture. He's been mocked. He's been beaten. Not just that, they didn't stop there, but he's been crucified now. So as he hangs there on the cross, if you try and think of the worst kind of anger that has ever been stirred up within you or within somebody that you know, well, in that moment, he's probably carrying the worst of it. And in that moment, the Father is turning his face away from him. not because he hates him, but because the only thing that separates us from God is sin. And that's what his son is at that moment covered in. Sin, pain, all of that. So he has the question, do I forgive these people or not? As we read the scriptures, we might think, well, those people were really nasty and horrible and mean. If I was one of them, I wouldn't be as horrible and nasty and mean as they were. But maybe the Bible reminds us that that's who we are. Whenever we get things wrong, by that I don't mean trying out a new task and not quite being perfect. That's not the picture. It's falling short of God's glory, going against his challenge, his encouragement, his teaching, his direction to us. Maybe in those moments, that's what we're doing, is putting Jesus back in that place. But what's his response? His response is there. Verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And as I read that, I think, yes, they do. Yes, they do. They know what they do. They had read the scroll. They had read those stories. They knew what was coming. Those people knew their Bibles. They did. Jesus is just making excuses for them. They knew. So why is Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing? He's a God of compassion. He's a God of grace. He's a God whose love and forgiveness runs as far as the east is from the west. For me, if somebody hurts me today and does it again tomorrow, I could forgive them once, but a second time, I'm struggling. Third time, I might give up. Fourth time, maybe during the peace, instead of saying something to them, I might just blank them and walk out. They sit over there, so I do the peace over here, or something. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We pray the Lord's Prayer, and in the Lord's Prayer, there's that line, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Not forgive us our sins as they forgive me first, but forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus does this so well all through Scripture. He never challenges us or encourages us to do things that he hasn't done first. He sets the pace and he does that himself. So he's living out that Lord's Prayer that he has taught his disciples and followers to pray. He's doing that himself, isn't he? He is forgiving. He is forgiving. There's a story here from Rwanda. Rwanda is a country in East Africa. It's a neighbor in the south to Uganda, which is the country where I come from. And I remember this happening in 1994. So in 1994, I was in secondary school, and I was used to being in a country which was war-torn. So that was Uganda. We're used to having wars, civil wars all the time. It was the norm. And so I remember in 1994, there was breaking news about the genocide brewing in Rwanda. And to us, it was just another war, because we were used to these things happening all the time. It's just normal. I grew up and I didn't see a lot of my mom's family because they were in the northern part. And in the north, it was war-torn. So the rebels were there for a long time, from the 80s through to the late 90s. So they came in the early 80s here, so I didn't really see them. And again, we're just used to it. This is how life is. And so in Rwanda, in 94, in April, the two big tribes, the Hutu and the Tutsi tribes, started to, it was just a small thing because one of their leaders had been gunned down in a plane and it landed, it crashed. So then the other tribes think, it was you guys, okay? So we'll come and get you. And it starts out like that. And then before we know it, we're seeing a lot of people from Rwanda coming into Uganda, coming into Uganda. And refugees upon refugees. And this thing doesn't seem to be ending. Now, as we look back, every April, this is what happens. There'll be remembrance for what happened there, just like we had a remembrance service here. And the president there, Paul Kagame, who is the guy there lighting a torch, he said these words. He said, "There is no way to fully comprehend the loneliness and anger of the survivors, and yet over and over again, we have asked them to make the sacrifices necessary to give our nation new life. Emotions," he says, "had to be put in a box." But of course, a lot of those emotions will brew. Those people then, but even today, are still faced with that question, to forgive or not to forgive. Where sometimes pain might look like it's far, for some of these people, limbs were cut. Their people were killed. Others were. All sorts of gruesome things happened. And the people doing those things were not far. They were there. And maybe as they wake up in the morning, they walk past the person who did that. What do they do? Forgive or not to forgive? Oh, I did that yesterday. How about today? How about when you see them in school? How about if you go to work with the same people? What does it mean for you? That is for them. But how about for you? Jesus' teaching on the Mount teaches this, that someone on the Mount says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So don't just love them. The Apostle Paul uses this language, but he takes it further. He says, "Overcome evil with good." Okay, so if somebody has done you wrong, what do? You could ignore them, that's one step. But actually, if they are hurting, reach out to them. If they're in pain, don't just walk by them, but actually step out and do something for them, to them. That's what real love and forgiveness, loving your enemies, loving our enemies, looks like. And that's the challenge that God is giving to us. He calls us, challenges us every day to love anyway. Not just because those people need loving, but also because sometimes I am the one who is in that place that needs that loving. I could be the enemy without knowing. And how wonderful that Jesus challenges that other person to love me, to forgive me. How wonderful that is for me. That when I hurt you, when I do something wrong, God isn't encouraging you like it was in the old law, an eye for an eye, but he is saying, forgive. Let's read this together if you can. When you forgive, you don't change the past, but you do change the future. That's right. You might not be able to undo the stuff that has been done in the past, but you can transform how you live with that person and for that person in the future. And that's what Jesus comes to bring. He comes to bring us reconciliation. He comes to transform our lives, that we will know how to move on in life and live well together. It's beautiful when there is harmony. It's beautiful. It's great when there is unity, when there is love, when there is peace, when there is trust, when there is perfect forgiveness. But who takes the first step? Who says sorry first? There is a cost to it, isn't there? Jesus has paid that price for us on the cross, but he encourages us daily to do that too. To embrace his forgiveness, but also to share that forgiveness with one another. Jesus came to seek reconciliation, to seek peace. And before he serves his disciples, we see him say this all the time. He says, "Peace be with you." We'll be coming to share in communion, and we've shared the peace. And what point is he making? He's trying to say, make peace with one another and make peace with me. Make peace with each other and make peace with me. That's the depth of his peace, and his message to us is that we are accepted. We are welcomed into the family. Last week we had baptisms in here, and that was a reminder to us that we are welcome into the family, but also that we are loved. And if you might not feel any of those words, I want to encourage you this morning, a reminder that you will know that you are accepted, you are welcomed, and you are loved. Forgiveness is love, isn't it? When we are drawing farther away from each other, that forgiveness draws us back to where God wants us to be. As I draw this to a close, here's a little statement. When we are moved by the mercies of God, when our minds have been renewed to grasp his will, all our relationships become transformed.